So we're looking at this character. What did the title on the hymn, the cover say? An unusual suspect. Of course, I thought of law enforcement right away. Who's been arrested? And anyone else been arrested here besides me? It's overrated, just telling you. Ask for the bracelets in front instead of in the back. It's easier on your shoulders. Context is king. What comes before this chapter 12 in Genesis? Well, of course, there's a creation story. God talks and things happen. And then there's that story about Adam and Eve and then the paradise lost, you know. And then Cain and Abel, and then there's Noah and the ark and the flood. And then there's genealogy records. And then there's the Tower of Babel. More genealogy records. And then this Abram character comes out of nowhere, right? Do you ever read this book and wonder who God, what God was thinking about when he called some people? I don't know. When I look at this thing, everyone in this book's got issues. We're not alone. We all got issues, right? God uses some wonderful characters. Abram, the unusual suspect we're looking at for the next 47 minutes, arguably one of the most important people in the history. He lived about 4,000 years ago. Both Israel and the surrounding Arab countries claimed this guy as what? A forefather. And yet that part of the world continues to fight. Please pray for peace, the return of the hostages, no more terrorism. Christians, we also what? Have this Abram character as a forefather of us, not physically descended from, but spiritually descended from this guy, Abram. By the way, they change his name to Abraham later, but that's not here yet. Father of faith. It's repeated over and over in the New Testament, right? That he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. I like that. Christianity, which is all about Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, holds Abraham as an example to live by. Flawed, yes. Loved, yes. Just like us. Just like us. So you read this, and do you ever wonder what that sounded like, Abraham and God talking? You're Abram, right? And you're doing your deal, whatever that is, and all of a sudden, hey, Abram, I got a deal for you. You're hearing voices. There's a place we can lock you up and medicate you for that, right? Abram, this is God speaking, and I want you to do something. I want you to leave this land that you've been in, and I want you to go somewhere. Abe says, well, go where? What are you talking about? Well, this place, it's about 1,500 miles from where you live right now, and it's called Cana. Never heard of it, Lord. Never heard of it. I know, and guess what else? What? That promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Abe says, well, how's that going to work? I don't have any kids yet. Huh? It's impossible. Oh, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that later. Just trust me. Sure. Now, let me see if I got this straight, Lord. You want me to leave everything, travel across a desert to a place I've never heard of, and I'm going to become the father of a great nation? Right. What are you, nuts? Is this a joke? No. And by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, according to Hebrews 11:8. He listened and he went. More backstory about this guy, Abram. He lived in a land called Ur, U-R, of the Chaldeans. This is going to be on the final. Better pay attention. You might want to take notes. Ur of the Chaldeans is about 200 miles southeast of Baghdad, the place where polytheism, lots and lots of gods, were rampant in the culture. And even Abram, we believe, worshiped multiple gods. Abram and his wife were living a pretty decent life. They were prospering, and yet they didn't have any kids. That was a huge bummer for them. God makes a promise that they would have, and they do. The bummer is, if you skip ahead, it takes about 25 more years before that promise comes true. Huh. By the way, did you catch what Pastor Ben read? How old was Abe? 75. I'm not there yet, but it's getting closer than 50, right? 75 years old. Usually that's a time when some folks think about, you know, slowing down, maybe retiring, maybe doing something, seriously thinking that maybe it's time to retire at 75. And can you think about what his kinsmen were thinking? I mean, what were the neighbors thinking when they heard? They'll think Abe's nuts. He had too much whatever, and he's, who knows? It's at this time when he's 75 years old that God calls him and says, oh, I got a deal for you. I want you to go to a land that is unknown to you. Sure. Huh? Go from all that you know to a place that I know. Step out of your comfort zone and watch me work, says God. You see, Abraham lived by a promise that the Savior was going to come. We live by a promise, and that Savior for us has come. He came, the Savior came for you, crucified and risen, Jesus Christ. Maybe a takeaway we can get from this unusual character, Abram, is that we can trust that God will keep his promise to us, even when we don't know what God has planned. Don't we pray that one prayer, thy will be done? Isn't that part of it? We don't know everything. From experience, I can tell you that God's calling in your life and our actions, he desires us to take, that they don't always make a whole lot of logical sense. You want me to go where? Huh? It seems like God doesn't care about our ability. God cares about our availability. I do love how God is the active one in this whole story. It feels very Lutheran to me. God is the active one. God promises Abraham has done nothing to deserve any of this. You see, it's never been about us. It's always been about God, what God is doing for us in spite of ourselves. I think they call that grace, right? He says, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. That's a promise. Holy moly. God makes a promise to the freedom of what? The promised land. The encounter between God and Abram is a promise of pure grace, given with no apparent reason whatsoever. Descendants, land, blessing, it's pure grace. God promises blessings to Abram, not because of what Abram has done to deserve any of it. It's Lutheran, I'm just saying. The gift of faith motivates Abram to obey God's call and to leave. Go. Discover this new territory. He's destined to have you inherit this by God, right? So he left only with a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. God called Abram. It's a call to a changed life. You know what? We have that same call every day. When we wake up, right? We get that call to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God every day. Jesus puts it so beautifully in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So, now that there's nothing that we have to do, what are you going to do? How are you going to make someone else's life better? How are you going to carry the message of God's love into this world? Last paragraph. From the outside, Abram was, you know, pretty poor choice to God, to follow God. But God is merciful. Remember, we just said that in our confession. God is merciful. So God calls Abram to follow him towards salvation. You know, we aren't anything special. The fact is, we're sinners. But because of God's mercy, he likewise sets us on a journey every day. It's a journey that sometimes may feel like we're strangers in a strange land. It's a journey that's undertaken by faith and by trusting in God's promise. It's a journey where we know our destination thanks to Jesus Christ's work on the cross. It's the freedom of the promised land. Heaven. Heaven. Where there's perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. Have a blessed Memorial Day tomorrow. Remember. Amen.